Welcome to part two of our interview with Dennis Estlock about conversations with the dead. Let me ask you about this, onto another area that you had touched on earlier about giving a reading to someone. When was it that you realized or had that moment of being able to pick up on spirits, individuals who have other loved ones who are around them, that you're able to give these messages or these readings to these individuals?
Well, growing up, from my late teens on, I had experiences that I couldn't justify, I couldn't explain. So I joined the volunteer fire department at one point in time, and I was working to become a paramedic and firefighter. I would often end up at crash scenes, and sadly, more crash sites than on my personal time than on a call, which is why I left. I couldn't justify volunteering to do a job where I'm there anyway. And, so far in my life, I've held six people in my arms as they crossed over. Mm-hmm. They drew that last breath, the body seized, everything stopped, and they crossed. The first two were during that time that I was working volunteer rescue and fire department. So, I would have to say it was in my late teens that I started to pick up on the energy or the essence that is a person as they leave. Then it started becoming, I would see somebody out of the corner of my eye and turn to look and nobody was there. But, I always seem to have known things about my friends and those around me, or even strangers that I met that I would have no way to know, but I always kind of pushed it aside as, you have no way to validate it. So you really don't make that connection that it is a psychic or mediumship connection. Mm-hmm. And then I started doing remote views. So I spent 5 years doing a podcast called Full Spectrum Radio with my buddy out of Chicago. So Matt Mazurek and I would have, and it was all based on the paranormal, be it cryptids, spirit, paranormal investigations, whatever. That was pretty much the antithesis of Full Spectrum Radio. And from time to time, we would have a guest on that just all of a sudden I would start getting information about from the other side. So I would start sharing it with them. And it got to be normal, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, I had never really allowed it to be normalized in my life until I got, fully involved in this field, which now I'm going on, 10, 15 years fully involved in the paranormal. Until that point, from the time I was like a teen and so forth, like I said, when I was 10, 12 years old, did that recorder sitting out in the cemetery. That was kind of a, hey, this is neat. Let's go see what it happens. So I would dabble with it from here and there. Played with a Ouija in my late teens, early 20s. But I never really got into it on a full-time level like I do now. So I actually accepted about 10 years ago, I guess, that I was able to make connections to the other side.
Is the ability...
It was kind of always there,
yeah.
Just ignored for the most part.
Today, now that it's not ignored, that you realize that it's there, is the ability to give readings or to pick up on these things available to anyone that you encounter, or is it only certain people due to circumstances that they may be going through at the time?
Is it possible for them to do a reading?
No, for you to be able to pick up on maybe an attachment or a spirit that's around them, or any sort of message that's essentially kind of waiting there in the ethereal queue, if you will, from a loved one to deliver to an individual. Is there always something there for anyone, essentially, or is it only certain people that are you're able to pick these things up on and give readings to?
For me, it's kind of select. It depends on if spirit wants to come forward and pass on information.
Mm-hmm.
Think about this scenario, and this is kind of how I describe it to most people. If I, you know, when I'm asked to do a reading or a connection, let's say you and I are walking down the street and I see your aunt, your brother, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I start asking them questions about you, how likely are they going to be to just start spilling this information to me? Spirit's the same way. They don't know me from anybody.
Yeah.
So if they choose to step forward and share information, then they do. If nobody steps forward to share information, then I don't give you any.
Sure.
But, you know, as far as the, and I mean, there are some mediums out there that, you know, they have, for lack of better terms, they've become known in the spirit world that they can do this, that they will pass on information to loved ones. I don't focus on it enough, I don't think, to be in that category with them.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll get more spirit to step forward to share information and make a connection than I do.
That makes sense.
Now, if I spent more time, honestly, I think it's like any other craft. The more time that you spend with it, and the more time that you focus on it and work at it, the better you are at it,
mm-hmm.
and the more you can do with it. I don't spend a great deal of time with it.
Okay.
If spirit is adamant enough, they make it virtually impossible not to open my mouth. Prime example, my son-in-law and daughter, son-in-law is in the Navy, so they're in Groton, Connecticut. I drove up to see them, and on my way home, it's a 10-hour drive. It was like 2 in the morning. I'm out of coffee. The fuel light's on the truck. I'm like, I'm going to stop, get coffee. So I get gas. I walk into the convenience store. It's the only one open that I could find. There's a lone young man standing behind the cashier station, and I see an older woman behind him over his shoulder. And as soon as I walk in the door, I see her perk up and look at me, and her eyes lit up. I'm like, oh, shit. She sees me, and she knows. She wasn't living, but she was standing behind, like off of his left shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
She followed me through the store, telling me things about him that she wanted him to know and wanted to tell him. I'm like, please, I don't want to do anything. And as I was checking out, she was standing there going, you have to tell him. So I did. I unleashed on him. I'm like, you know, your grandmother is telling me that she's very proud of what you've done with your schooling, but she's also telling me that it's time for you to get off your ass. You put the book on the table and you looked at it and thought about doing your classes. She's glad you took a semester off to kind of get your shit together, but now it's time to go back to school. She didn't pay for it for you not to do it. And I turned and looked at her, and she was at this point smiling ear to ear. And I looked at him, and of course his eyes are huge, his jaw is hanging open, and he's like, how the hell do you know all of that? I said, she's standing over your shoulder. And I just grabbed the woman as I saw her. And he goes, that's my granny. And like, she paid for my school, put all the money in trust and everything. And he's like, I looked at my schedule book last week, and I thought about booking my classes. I guess I don't have an option now. Granny wants me to go back. It's time to go back. I said, okay. So you have a blessed night. Best of luck with school. But it was one of those where she was so adamant that I was going to talk to him.
Sure.
I was going to tell him what she wanted. I don't think I could have walked out of there without telling him, without her coming after me to, you know, haunt me.
Sure. When you first have an encounter like that, do you always realize immediately this is in fact a spirit that you're seeing and is communicating with you? Or have you ever had a moment where you were confused at first, thinking, well, this is a living person randomly approaching me with way too personal of information that I should be hearing from a random person coming up to me?
I have had them present themselves to me where I thought I was having a conversation with a living person, and then realized that, no, they, you know, this is in fact just a spirit presenting to me. I always have to kind of look a little skeptical to begin with, because I'm not real sure until, you know, something happens, something they say, something, you know, hypothetical, walking through the park and there's a bench to my side and they walk right through the bench. And I'm like, okay, I know which side you're on.
Sure.
So yeah, there's been both scenarios where I'm like, okay, is it spirit? Is it not? Usually I can tell it's spirit because they're not as solid visibly. You know, there is a bit of translucency to them from time to time, but others are just very strong and they're just as solid looking as you and I.
Let's go back to another area that you had touched on in an earlier story about when your brother had passed and the goodbye message that was left on the computer. After that moment had a little bit of time to move on, and you all realized what in fact had happened, and you were able to visit with your father, what was your father's feelings or realization about looking back on getting that message on the computer, or his hands, from what I understand, just kind of moving and typing this and essentially this message coming through? What was he thinking about that retrospectively?
God, that's been 35 years ago.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. Right about 35 years ago. So honestly, I don't remember having a conversation with him about it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have an answer to that question.
No.
But my father was of the type that it was just coincidence. You know, things like the paranormal, spirit coming back to us, it doesn't happen. It was, you know, if I were to guess now, if I were to be able to ask Dad that same exact question, I feel pretty confident that his answer would be, that was just coincidence.
Let me ask you this. This is a very much an opinion-based question, but something I think you'd have an interesting observation on. Are individuals who believe in the paranormal and supernatural and that this exists in life more likely to come back to the living in death versus those who are very stoic on the topic or very pragmatic on it, saying, no, there's always an explanation for something?
That's a good question. I don't know. I would think, all right, so I've got a running thing with pretty much all of my friends that when I die, I want them to come to me. I want them to try to communicate to me. I want them to run EVP sessions. I want them to try to communicate with me. I mean, I've spent so much of my life at this point trying to prove the existence of the afterlife and the ability for spirit to talk to us. Why would I take that moment and shun them for trying to communicate with me?
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of grief in the field that, you know, this musician dies, or that person that's well known in this field dies. There's an individual that, you know, puts it out there very well known that, hey, I've tried to communicate with so-and-so, that, you know, this celebrity or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so many people trash talk this individual. And I'm like, okay, but I mean, he's trying to figure out if we can do it.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, it's so disrespectful. Well, I'm putting it out there as public knowledge right now. When I die, I want everybody, fire up the spirit box, fire up the hack shack, fire up the recorder, see if I can talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know. I mean, how better to do it than when I'm just on that side of the veil?
Sure. No, so I'm very...
I won't find it offensive.
Sure. And I'm very intrigued by that as well, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Quite often, you'll see a video pop up within 24 hours of someone's passing of someone saying that they have had a communication using something. And I've wanted to actually talk with that individual for quite some time, and I won't say the name. And I actually reached out, and I was told that my show was too sensational to have, which just kind of blew my mind, because I'm like, I'm not talking to dead people within 24 hours of their death. I just want to understand what you're doing. I just want to hear about what your craft is about. I'm not here to judge. I just want to learn about it, which I found kind of insulting, quite honestly. But that's for another point in time. But I am genuinely intrigued, and I'm not here to dismiss anyone who's doing anything. I'm just here to ask questions and learn. That's all I want to do. I felt I was getting more judgment from the other side than I was going towards just wanting to learn. Which, you know, I don't know how we come across as sensational when we're just discussing stories and really digging into them. I just want to hear people's accounts. That's all we're trying to do. And you certainly gave us a very interesting story today.
Well, I certainly appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got hundreds of them.
Yeah. I mean, and we didn't even touch on some of the things I wanted to get into. I would love to have you on again sometime to talk about the Cabot on 360 and discuss how you got there, how that all began, and your investigation work. Unfortunately, I think we're out of time for this episode, but this has been a wonderful conversation, Dennis. Thank you so much for your time today and sharing these deeply personal stories with us.
It's been an honor. I appreciate you reaching out to me and asking me, and anytime that you'd like to have me back on, discuss the Cabin on 360, discuss my team, the locations that we do fundraisers and so forth for, I'd be more than happy to come back on.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Dennis Estlock about conversations with the dead. Thank you for supporting the program, keeping us on the air. We could not do this without your support. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.